All right, I'm going to be presenting a little bit of the methodology we used, as well as some initial results from our first round of testing for our analysis of the effects of density, moisture content, and trash content on the effects of lint and seed quality for long-term storage of cotton modules. My co-authors on the paper are Russell McGee, Dr. Parnell, and Dr. Faulkner. A little bit of a background of why we went into this. There are currently three machine types that are commonly used to harvest cotton in the United States. Each has their own region of popularity. Cotton is packaged in three different ways, the most common still being the traditional module, but with emerging technologies, the half module from Case and the round module from Deere are coming up strong. And cotton is packaged in different conditions now as much as ever, as far as maturity is concerned, as well as moisture being before or after rain events, or even time of day, both of which can have quite an effect on the overall moisture content of a module. A little bit of previous work. We started off of the basis of some work done by Sorensen at A&M in 1973. He found that seed cotton would begin to degrade rapidly at moistures above 12% wet basis. And when I say rapidly, I mean he's talking on the order of around 3 days. He didn't use any different densities or trash contents. Nowadays, cotton is stored a lot longer than what it was then. Back then, 1 month was about as long as you were going to see, and now 4 to 6 months isn't uncommon. Montgomery and Wooten in 1956 found that just taking the moisture content of cotton in the boll in a field would vary from 16% in the early morning down to 5% in mid-afternoon. So time of day can have a huge effect here too. So the inputs we are studying here are moisture content, which we varied from 10 to 12 to 14% wet basis. Trash content, we used picker, stripper with field cleaner, and stripper without field cleaner, which corresponded to about 5, 19, and 38% trash contents, and densities from 8 to 16 pounds per cubic foot, which encompassed the Case machine, the traditional module, and the Deere onboard module builder system as well. This gave us three different factors with three different levels for each factor, so 27 total combinations. We desired to have four replications of each combination, so that gave us a total of 108 samples we looked at. We went with 6 pounds of dry matter. We didn't start with dry material, but we set it up so that if we were to dry the trash and the lint in the samples, we would have 6 total pounds. So our finished weight would be different based on the moisture. We wanted to add the moisture as evenly as possible, so we didn't have some real wet spots or some real dry spots where we, you know, had a wide range around what we were shooting for. And we wanted to be able to seal the cotton so we could represent the center of a module as closely as possible, where there's not a lot of interaction with oxygen or moisture outside. We wanted to be able to store them 3 to 4 months so we could try and get the total effect or get a longer effect than what previous studies had done. The seed cotton we used was harvested in the fall of 2008 by a picker in Lubbock, Texas. We used this cotton as a basis for the picker trash level. We didn't add any trash to the picker series of tests. Every day we would take a small sample out of the bulk containers of cotton and dry it to check the moisture content so we could accommodate any changes that were going on there. The trash we used was gathered from a burr extractor on a cotton stripper. It was sticks, burrs, and leaves. It was also from Lubbock, Texas. And after we got the amount of cotton we wanted, we added the trash to it and mixed it by hand. Again, with the trash, we tested the moisture content daily to ensure that we were getting the proper amounts of water, trash, and lint in the samples. For the moisture, we wanted to be able to add as uniformly as we could, so we went with a steam system to add it. If I can get the mouse to show. Right here, this is the air wash we used. This basket is perforated steel. We would place the cotton inside of this basket where it was allowed to tumble inside the larger container. This hole goes through the outside. There's one on this side too. And we would close the lid and close this door, and the top is sealed. And then you can see in this picture, there's this tube coming out of the bottom of here. That's it went to a fan, and we would pull air through those two holes across the full sample of cotton. We would turn this motor on right here so the cotton would tumble in the basket, so it would constantly be mixing. And then this blue box over here is a steam generator.
I don't know how well you can see it in this picture. It's a little bit hazy right here.
We set the output of the pipes right here, and the fan sucked all the steam into the airstream that was going in there. And then they mixed as they went into the cotton, and drier air came out the bottom. Whenever we thought we had enough moisture, we would pull the samples back out of the containers and put them back in plastic bags and reweigh them and see if we had the right mass that we were looking for. If we didn't, we'd put them back in the baskets and let them run a little longer. And if we did, we'd move on to sealing them up. We put them in 6-inch sewer and drain grade PVC pipe. We sealed it at both ends. Since we used the same amount of dry matter for all of them, we varied the density by length. They varied from just under 2 feet to just under 4 feet long. And as I said, we compressed them and then we sealed them up and we put them on a rack in storage for about 3.5 months. In November, we opened them all up. We just cut the ends of the caps off with a bandsaw. We immediately pulled a small sample out and weighed it, and we got the moisture off of each one to verify that we were pretty close to what we were shooting for. We ginned them at the Texas A&M Cotton Improvement Center on a couple of Continental Eagle Tensaw gins, and we sent the fiber off to the Texas Tech Fiber and Biopolymer Research Institute for analysis. We don't have anything back on the seed samples yet, but we have the fiber back and we've done a little bit of initial work on it. Right now, what we've seen is that these are in order of their statistical significance in the models. So elongation saw the biggest changes mainly due to moisture content. We found the lower the moisture content, the higher the elongation value. Next were the two colors, yellowness and reflectance. Both with a higher moisture content, there was a higher value of yellowness and a lower value of reflectance. And then we saw length and micronair, both again with higher moisture contents leading to higher values. The significance of what we've done so far is we've been able to develop a methodology for conducting these tests that allows us to see some differences, statistical differences in fiber quality, whereas in past studies, those haven't been noted or even perhaps been able to be detected at all. So we feel that it's a good step for us to be at right now, where we can actually detect some of these differences in fiber quality. We anticipate that we'll see some big differences in seed quality, as that's where most of the change has been seen in previous work. Next step we're going to do is try and put this in more terms of practicality as to how it's going to apply to a producer, what kind of change he's going to see, and what the value of the cotton is. And we're also planning another series of tests where we're going to kick out some of the factors that weren't important and then focus more on the ones that were important. I'd like to thank the Texas State Support Committee, the Texas A&M Cotton Chair, and Texas AgriLife Research for funding this project. Are there any questions? Yes, sir.
Any difference on the densities?
The density wasn't a big factor on anything we looked at. So at this point, we haven't noticed a lot. The seed could come back totally different, and we're still gonna have to wait to see about that. But at this point, we don't think it's a huge factor.
Mark, can you go back to your results slide just there for a second? I was just interested by what I thought I saw there. Higher moisture content led to a higher value of length. Do you have any idea why that might be true?
I don't really care to venture into that yet. I don't think I'm at the point where we've got a good theory developed for some of these relationships. I mean, some of them are pretty intuitive, but some of them are...
You said that that's in level of significance.
Right.
Coming down at the bottom of those or...
Right. It wasn't a very high R squared at all for those. And I mean, there's a lot of variation that's not explained by the model. So that's something we're not sure about that yet. If it keeps coming up, we'll be working on developing a theory on why it happened. Well, all the responses separately. We looked at the three main inputs and then several other things that we thought may end up being statistically different, like the which gin we use and stuff like that. And we kicked them off in a backwards elimination on ANOVA. So it came up with these were the only ones that were significant on a 95% level. All right, anything else?